Now your ideas don't have to wait. Now they have everything they need to come to life. Dell Technologies and Intel are creating technology that loves ideas, loves expanding your business, evolving your passions. We push what technology can do so great ideas can happen right now. Find out how to bring your ideas to life at Dell.com/welcome to now.
With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial. And with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown. And through adaptable problem solving, we do just that. Learn more at Marines.com.
This is the Rich Eisen Show.
How far have the Giants fallen?
Jones throws a pass upfield. It's deflected, intercepted.
This is what you said on this show the day after the Giants drafted him. This is you, Joel Klatt.
I thought that the New York Giants had a disastrous night last night.
The Rich Eisen Show.
The thing about Daniel Jones, while he was very good, he wasn't an above the X's and O's player.
Today's guests, co-host of Peacock's Brother from Another, Michael Smith, actor J.K. Simmons, Fox Sports NFL analyst Michael Vick, Boston Globe sports columnist Dan Shaughnessy. And now, it's Rich Eisen.
Yeah, everybody, welcome to this edition of the Rich Eisen Show. We're live on NBC Sports on Peacock, NBC Sports Audio, Sirius XM, Channel 85 on this Rich Eisen Show radio dial, terrestrially coast to coast. Odyssey also streaming us. We say good morning to anybody who might be listening to us somehow, some way on our podcast as soon as it's posted. We say good day to you. As soon as it's posted, we're all podcasts are acquired on our Cumulus Podcast Network. YouTube.com/Rich Eisen Show, and we appreciate every single one of our over 322,000 subscribers growing each and every day. Good to see you, Chris Brockman.
Hey,
how
Rich.
Are you?
What's up, man?
Good to see you, Mike Del
Good
Tufo.
To see you, Rich. Good morning.
Good to see you, TJ Jefferson, sir. How are you?
Hey, Rich, I made a triumphant return to Staples Center last night.
Did you really?
Clip. I did for the first time.
You got
time.
Out of your house.
I left, man, finally. Hey. First time in 20 months. The last time I was in Staples Center, March the 1st, 2020, Sixers against the Clippers, returned last night.
What happened?
Well, we lost in overtime.
No, wow. I'm going to get you out of your house.
You know, I just felt it was time.
It was okay.
Time, you know.
Well, that's great, man.
Yeah.
Good to see you back
no
amongst
more.
Everybody.
It felt
like
good
that.
To be back. The crowd loved me. I was like, relax. I know.
I know. You're more entertaining than you thought you needed to be, I'm sure. And you proved the Clippers are like, stay home. Like, stay home. They don't need you.
They didn't need me.
They don't need you. Well, that's good news right there. Yeah. That's good news. Thanksgiving week, everybody. Thanksgiving is right around the corner. So there's two ways to look at week 12. There's your traditional Thanksgiving games, right? Lions and the Cowboys hosting their Thanksgiving games. That's the traditional games. Then you've got the Bills and the Saints and these not so traditional but becoming traditional third night game of your Thanksgiving triple header. Born out of NFL Network years ago. You're welcome to all those people who don't want to talk to their relatives all day long. You're welcome. We were there for you. NBC says we'll take it. And all of us on NFL Network saying thank you to NBC for doing that. So we can hang out and ignore our families and watch television too. I mean, that's when we want to work it, when we can just be like everybody else. But long story short, I digress. It's the first time since all three games existed on one day for Thanksgiving, and which is an awful way to say first time since they created that triple header with NFL Network spearing the way to do that, that all six games, all six teams coming into the three games coming off a loss. That's never happened before, and it's happened this time, and now the Saints are ridiculously banged up. It looks like Kamara and Ingram might be out. They might be missing not one but two offensive linemen. They're already missing their tight end. We already know Jameis Winston is out. My gosh. And here come the Bills limping in. So there's all that. And the Cowboys. Yeah, there's that too. But there's Sunday. There's Sunday, folks. And this Sunday is a special, special Sunday because there are nine games between teams 500 or better. the most such games in Week 12 or later since at least 1970. How about them apples?
Woo.
Nine games where everybody is 500 or better coming into the games. And we do, believe it or not, have a couple of them coming up on Thanksgiving, even though everybody's losing coming in. But the you've got yourself a big-time game coming up on Sunday over and over and over again. The Titans and the Patriots, I cannot stress this enough. That game needs to be tied to the Sunday night game, Browns and Ravens. The Titans and the Patriots, 1 o'clock Eastern on CBS. That game is huge because the Patriots, as we know, have not lost since starting 2-4. They've gone 2-4 and now 5-0. They're 7-4, and that five-game win streak has them in first place in the AFC East. And if they beat the Titans, who turned it over four times to the Texans last week in a quintessential trap game, they fell in the trap. If the Patriots win that game and the Browns then beat the Ravens on Sunday night, the Patriots emerge from Thanksgiving week as your one seed in the AFC at 8-4 with five more games to go. They will be going into the final five games of this longest regular season ever for them, because they have a bye as well in the middle of all that, to rest up. They are in the catbird seat position. Come on. Who'd have thought that coming? And you want to talk about the Browns beating the Ravens. That is entirely possible today. I don't know if this means they're going to play, but we'll see how that plays out over the next 3 hours. Today, Jack Conklin on the Browns offensive line and Kareem Hunt were both designated to return to practice. If Kareem Hunt goes with Chubb and Conklin helps protect the banged up Baker Mayfield, they're ready to go. They're ready to go damn near almost full strength. Lamar Jackson's returning to practice, though, today. As we know, he was not healthy enough to go in Chicago, even though he took the flight with the team, all balled up in his seat, so sick he didn't know that the plane had landed. And so that is a huge Sunday night game in conjunction with that early window game. And while that early window game is going on in New England, Tom Brady is in Indianapolis, where the Colts are red hot and on fire. And the Colts are now making a push for the playoffs. And the Colts may have the hottest player in all of the NFL in Jonathan Taylor running the football, coming off a 5-touchdown game against one of the best run defenses this league has seen put on a field over the last couple of seasons. How huge is that? And as that's going on in Cincinnati, the Pittsburgh Steelers are taking on the Cincinnati Bengals in a huge game in the AFC North prior to the night being finished up by the other AFC North battle. And that division has a team in the Browns having fallen into last place despite being 6-5 and having won last week. And they're the ones who are absolutely dealing with a huge to-do with their fan base freaking out about Baker Mayfield. There's a full freak-out going on for so many people, and I'm trying to let everyone understand. Just take a beat. Let's see what happens Sunday night, everyone. Certainly if Hunt and Conklin could possibly return Sunday night. Then you've got late-window games in the NFC. Come on now. Rams coming off of their bye week, having sat on a two-game losing streak. Von Miller, you get him, you lose to the Titans. Odell Beckham, you get him on and unwrap him on the same day. Robert Woods goes down in practice, then you lose to the 49ers, getting hit in the mouth twice by a very physical team in Tennessee and San Francisco. And now here comes Green Bay coming off their loss against Minnesota. And the Rams need to win this football game. And so do the Packers, folks. So do the Packers. You could say maybe not, you know, maybe not for the division. Okay. But certainly if you want to start making hay, you were the one seed coming into last week. Okay. And Rodgers is banged up. His blind side is not protected by Elgton Jenkins, and certainly not Bakhtiari anytime soon. And here comes Von Miller. Or will the Packers just do what they've done against an NFC West opponent, is go ahead and beat him. Go ahead and beat him. Remember, they went into San Francisco and beat him without Jenkins. Didn't matter. Remember, they went into Arizona, right? They go into Arizona and beat him. Davante Adams being out. Beat him. Maybe they do it again against the Rams. And then the aforementioned 49ers are at home against the Vikings. Two teams at 5-5. The winner goes to above 500, puts themselves right in the wild card spot in the NFC. And the loser goes to 5-6 and maybe watches a whole bunch of other teams passing by in the HOV lane of week 12. Vikings coming off of that big win at home against the Packers. The 49ers having won two in a row and looking like the team that went to the Super Bowl 2 years ago in doing so. We had Deebo Samuel on yesterday. What a terrific conversation that was. Go to our YouTube page for that. YouTube.com/Rich Eisen Show. Those are six games on Sunday. Of course, we're going to have our Thanksgiving appetite whetted tomorrow. But that's the situation. And if we put up the playoff pictures in the AFC and the NFC, put up whichever one comes up first on your screen there, Hoskins. I'll take whichever one. Here's the AFC. You got your one seed, the Tennessee Titans. As I mentioned, the Patriots have an opportunity to at least, if the Ravens win, they're 8-3, right? And if the Ravens and Titans win, then it's still 1-2 in the division, and the Patriots get knocked down a peg behind the Chiefs and potentially into the wild card spot if the Bills go ahead and win and go to 7-4. And the Patriots and Bills play next week. How great is that going to be? And then if the Patriots beat the Titans and the Browns beat the Ravens, the Patriots are in first place. And we'll see what happens with the Bills, obviously, on Thanksgiving night. The Bengals need to win in order to stay put in that 5 seed. If the Steelers win, they're 6-4-1 and the Bengals are 6-5. You could do the math right there. Colts at 6-5, Browns at 6-5. You got the Raiders in Dallas first up. And then the Broncos at 5-5, taking on a Chargers team that's sitting there at 6-4 in the 6th seed. How big is all that? Then you take a look at the NFC. No matter what happens and everything that I've just mentioned, the Arizona Cardinals are on a bye week at 9-2. They're in first place at 9-2 atop the conference, no matter what anything else happens. Because even if the Packers win 9-3, as you know, isn't as good as 9-2. And that's why the Packers need to win that game against the Rams, because again, you know, that might be something that comes into play for a playoff positioning and who goes where come late January. You'd rather have the Rams come back to Lambeau, I would imagine, rather than the other way around, even though Rodgers might go there and want to stay there. Certainly if it's an NFC championship game, winner stays there for the title and loser goes home. And then, you know, they already have the tiebreak against the Cardinals head-to-head. The Bucs against the Colts, they're 7-3 right now. I don't think they're in any danger of somebody coming up in division and hitting them, since the Saints just appear to be so wounded and Trevor Siemian has proven so far that he's not consistent enough over 4 quarters to be a guy that can be consistent enough as a starter from games 1 through 17, which is why he's a career backup, unless he just suddenly finds himself a style of play and a consistency level that he's never shown over a long period of time of starting in the NFL. The Cowboys at 7-3. You got objects closer than they appear as Washington takes on Seattle on Monday night, and the Eagles are taking on a Giants team that who the hell knows what that offense is going to look like with Freddie Kitchens cooking it up. Eagles at 5-6.
Kitchens cooking.
Indeed.
See what you did.
Vikings and Saints and Niners all at 5-5, but the Vikings and Saints are the ones in the wild card spot over certain tie breaks against the Niners right now. And if you notice, the Seattle Seahawks are not even on the screen. They're not even sniffing it. They are currently in a way that I've never seen in the Pete Carroll era, that is for sure. They're currently, right now, 15th in the NFC. The only team below them are the Lions, and the Bears are right above them. That's your setup for your Thanksgiving week of football, baby. So excited to talk about it. Michael Smith of Brother from Another, whose show we take you to on Peacock every single day. He's going to be first up right here. There's lots to talk about, certainly in the association last night. The Lakers minus LeBron go into Madison Square Garden, fall by 25 early, come back, actually take a lead at one point. Carmelo in the Garden was all good theater.
It was fun.
And to me, it just showed you, hey, folks, it's just a different team. It's just a different feel with LeBron not on that squad, man. They got tons of stars, I get it, but it's just a different feel, certainly for the NBA. I mean, I definitely miss seeing LeBron in Madison Square Garden. That's his one shot at it with fans. Last year, as we all know, was the COVID year. You know, it's unfortunate, but he deserved to be suspended. That is for sure. And we'll talk about that along with Isaiah Stewart getting one game more than LeBron. That's one of the items up for bids with Michael Smith. Also on this program, Academy Award winner J.K. Simmons will be here. He's been here many, many times, despite being from the state of Michigan, a man who is a diehard fan of the Detroit Lions. He is a diehard fan of Ohio State football. Pardon me, the Ohio State football. So we'll have fun mixing it up with the big game coming up on Saturday between Michigan and the Ohio State. We'll also reveal our Gorilla Glue toughest player on planet Earth award winner for this week. We give out $1,000 in free glue to a player. That's coming up on our program. Michael Vick will be here to talk about all the NFL topics that we just generated right here, checking on all the injury report news over the next 2+ hours. Dan Shaughnessy is going to be here as well. He has written a new book on the 70s and 80s Celtics and the Bird era Celtics. It's called Wish It Lasted Forever. My version of the book is Thank God It Ended. And we'll show you both book covers later on in this program. It's funny. I just whipped that out overnight. It was kind of crazy. I meant the book. Damn. All right.
Wow. That's what she said.
Hey, you know. Happy Thanksgiving, everybody. I'm wearing a pumpkin-colored sport coat.
I have more pie in the back. Do you want some?
Absolutely not. As you know, I think you should take that pumpkin pie and put it in the trash, because pumpkin pie is trash. Belongs in the trash. Wow.
I got ripped apart about my apple.
These are facts. These are facts.
Come on.
I don't know what you're talking about being ripped apart about your apple, sir. Thank God we're going to break. Michael Smith when we come back. Let's talk Sleep Number, people. We all know quality sleep is essential. I'm just not myself when I don't get a good night's sleep. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs, so you can choose what's right for you whenever you like. For instance, my side of the bed, my Sleep Number setting is 60. My wife's side of the bed, her Sleep Number setting is 70. Two different numbers, same bed, but we get the same great sleep. So, make sure you get your Sleep Number bed right now, because you will absolutely love it. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now you can save up to $800 on select Sleep Number smart beds for a limited time. That's right, $800. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com. Check it out. Sleep Number. You won't regret it.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
This is the Rich Eisen Show.
Back here on our terrestrial radio show, giving Mick Cronin an attaboy for suiting and booting still for UCLA basketball.
I'm eating pumpkin pie in a cup, Rich.
It sure is.
That's not a metaphor for anything, are you?
No, he's literally,
not. I'm literally eating
okay, an actual fact.
Pumpkin pie in a cup. Just not appealing to me at all.
Pumpkin pie in a cup. What are you?
Pumpkin pie in a cup, everybody.
Let's go.
Well done. And for the radio audience, it's a paper cup. Not something that you use as protection wear, because that would have been particularly gross.
No, it's like a coffee cup.
Galling.
That we have
not even a solo cup.
Half pumpkin pie. Half
Brother from another is Michael Smith, whose show follows our with Michael Holly every day right here on NBC Sports on Peacock, back here on our show. How are you, sir?
Good. Just concerned. Why y'all eating pumpkin pie?
Exactly, Mike.
It's also 9:22 a.m. Pacific time. He's chowing pumpkin pie.
I ain't got nothing to do with it.
It ain't y'all, Mike.
Y'all couldn't fire sweet potato pie?
That's
facts.
Come on,
these are facts that he spits. That's part of the reason why we have you on, Michael. Is you spit facts.
I didn't have
them. I knew Michael Smith was a sweet potato guy.
You're reasonable. That you're not a hot taker. You're reasonable. You're smart. You know.
I don't think so.
You've got taste. You've got style. You know. You dovetail with our program. Is basically
pumpkin
what I'm
saying. Pumpkin pie is for people who don't know how to make or can't find sweet potato pie and they're settling for pumpkin pie because it's, you know.
Well, here's what I said, Michael. I once upon a time covered a rodeo in Redding, California. Okay.
Nice.
All right. And I'm a New York Jew. I didn't know what the hell I was going on, you know. I actually was interviewing the all-around cowboy, Ty Murray. And it was I had no idea what he looked like. I went in there and I'm like, can you point out Ty Murray, which at the time – would have been similar to walking in the United Center and saying, can you point out Michael Jordan? Like, they gave me cross-eyed looks. Reason why I bring this all up is I thought to myself, as I'm watching all of these competitions play out, I'm like, who thought of this? It was just probably somebody who was bored and drunk on the range. And to me, that's the way I think pumpkin pie was created. Somebody was in a patch, bored, drunk, and it's like, let's make a pie out of it.
Like, we got nothing but pumpkins. Let's just make the best of this situation.
Perfect.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
I can see that. It's kind of like, since last night, I've been trying to figure out, like, because it's just, we take it for granted, because we all just, I think I did it instinctively. I don't think anybody had to tell me to do this.
Mm-hmm.
But it was the first person who decided, man, you know what, I should do with these Oreos is dunk it in milk.
Yep.
Like, who was the first to do that and that the word spread?
A genius. That's whoever, you know, the person was. Maybe they're.
Then I was trying to think, after Giannis, you know, discovered fire last night, mm-hmm. I'm just like, well, what's the last thing that just kind of blew my mind? What was the last game changer? So for somebody, once upon a time, pumpkin pie must have been a game changer.
It was.
Like, oh, we could make a pie out of this. For Giannis, Dunkin' Oreos is a game changer. I'm trying to think of the last thing that just, like, blew my mind like that. They're just like, oh, man. Like, Cam Newton put me on to Lucky Charms and Cinnamon Toast Crunch mixed, which is incredible.
Wow.
Whoa.
That's probably amazing. Is that what cereal he was referring to about eating that cereal a week before?
Probably.
Is that the cereal he was referring to?
I'm guessing it is, because once you go Lucky Charms and Cinnamon Toast Crunch, you do not go back. The other thing that came to mind for me was Hennessy and lemonade. I don't know how many Hennessy drinkers are here, but Hennessy and lemonade go
no.
far.
All right, I'm going to write all these down. It's going to be a long weekend for me, I guess. I don't know. How do I make the segue from this conversation to LeBron punching somebody in the face? How do I do that? I don't know, other than just walk through
Hennessy,
the door.
Anything is possible, so Hennessy has led to quite a few people getting punched in the face.
Enough Henny will lead to a scratch.
So
hey, we are at the holiday season, so there's pumpkin pie and there's fights.
That's the spice. Michael Smith here on the Rich Eisen Show. So what do you make of LeBron getting one game fewer than the guy he punched? What do you think about that?
I didn't like it. And okay, did Isaiah Stewart react more dramatically than we've typically seen from somebody getting hit in the face? Sure. But far be it from me to tell somebody how they should behave after getting hit in the face. And, you know, being blinded by their own blood. So, again, and let's focus on the root word. He overreacted, as in there was something that precipitated his reaction, which was getting hit in the face. So, for me, I just felt like they should have gotten equal suspension. Like, I guess I just don't understand I get what the second game is for from Stewart, but what's the first game for? You understand what I'm saying? Like, give him one if you think that he caused an unnecessary scene. But you don't give him two when he never hit anybody in the face to begin with.
Well, I guess if you're looking at the penalty in terms of, I guess, something to teach a lesson in a way,
deterrent.
Right, a deterrent. Thank you, sir. That's the word I was looking for. If you're looking for it as a deterrent, That's the extra game, because you don't want people the size of NBA players spilling in any way, shape, or form in a direction of a fan that's sitting right there on the floor.
Because remember, he got hit in the face, so he would have got hit in the face and gotten suspended for a game for how he reacted to getting hit in the face.
Mm-hmm.
And everybody's square, even Steven. But to give him two acted as, to me, says that what he did was more egregious than what LeBron did. Now, LeBron tried to apologize immediately. He sought out his phone number. I'm not here to judge LeBron's intent, but that looked like a closed fist to me. And, you know, if LeBron's going to be suspended for what started the incident, it just felt like Stewart shouldn't have gotten two. You know, I would have been okay with Stewart getting one, but again, he got hit in the face, and if he, you know, lost his mind as a result, I mean, okay. Get hit in the face and see how you would react. I would love to know what part of the rule book says this is how you're supposed to conduct yourself. Where does it say? I know what it says in the Bible. I don't know where it says turn the other cheek in the rule book. But, you know, LeBron will be back, and they'll both be back for this next Pistons game. Anthony Davis had an interesting point about our guys get hit in the face all the time.
Yeah, but he didn't require 9 stitches to close one of them ever. So.
Right, and that didn't look like pure traditional incidental contact. That looked excessive on the part of LeBron.
Well, I mean, LeBron shouldn't be throwing an elbow like that. I mean,
I think it was more of a closed fist. It looks like an elbow from one angle, but right. From the top angle, it's like a backhand closed fist.
Well, either way, he's got to know, you know, that something like that could seriously injure whoever is in his vicinity, and that's
100%.
that's why he suspended one game for it, because that was really reckless on his part.
Exactly.
So what do you make of the sense, though, that Stewart's reaction speaks to a lack of respect for LeBron league-wide from the youngsters? What do you think of that concept that was forwarded in a way by Stephen A., Michael Smith? What do you think of that one?
Oh, man. It's Thanksgiving. Let me be nice. So, wait, what happened?
Okay. Well, no, this
speaks to a lack of respect.
Yes, that players
one
of
a dude got hit in the face and it went crazy.
Right, that if Jordan had ever thrown that elbow, somebody wouldn't want to go fight Mike. But LeBron is a different story to the young kids in the NBA right now as compared to a previous generation. That was the I'm getting that gist correct, gents, right? Isn't that right?
That's essentially
what he's saying.
I'll just put it this way. Your man reached way up his pull that one out.
Wow.
I don't get that. Somebody got punched in the face, and I don't care who it was. Like, and first of all, it's not about LeBron. It's about Isaiah Stewart. Like, look into Isaiah Stewart's background. And Isaiah Stewart, by all accounts, is one of those dudes that, you know, you don't want to cross. You know, I'm not saying he's Charles Oakley, but I mean, Isaiah Stewart got hit and injured in a way that would set anybody off. I don't think anybody that gets hit in the face in that moment is thinking, man, this guy's one of the greatest players ever. I probably shouldn't mess with him. All you're thinking about is, I just got hit in the face. And unless you know that that person is going to do any more damage to you, you're going after them. So somebody's reputation as a tough guy in that moment doesn't matter. You know, like Michael Jordan, I don't know that Michael Jordan was ever considered some incredible fighter. Who was it that he pushed open-handed that time? That's, you know. But Michael Jordan is famous for punching Steve Kerr in practice. I don't know if that makes Michael Jordan a fighter, per se.
Well, he's just not afraid of him is essentially the sense, but, you know.
Yeah, but I mean, okay. Like, who's afraid of anybody in the NBA, if that's what we're talking about? Like, this was one incident. This doesn't speak to some. With all due respect, Rich, could I please, like, not have to entertain that?
No problem. Let me move on then. That Michael Smith reporting that the president not the only one to have a colonoscopy this week. Very good.
You touched a nerve there.
No, I did. I
love it.
We'll talk about that offline.
No worries. Michael Smith here on the Rich Eisen Show. So let's move on to the NFL. Why do you think Baker Mayfield gets as much crap as he gets?
Mm. Ooh, that's loaded.
How about that? Ooh. Why do you think he gets as much crap as as maybe anyone else in the NFL. Like, literally, it was 2 weeks ago that he boat raced the Bengals. It's obvious that he's not completely healthy and that he doesn't have any protection up front. Odell's dad is the one who's Zapruder filming all 22, you know, and Baker gets all the crap and very little of any credit that other quarterbacks might get for their moxie or what have you. Why do you think that is, Michael?
I'm more fascinated by the premise and by the by your take on it, because it sounds like it's unfair in your mind, and I guess I'm trying to figure out what
here's
the crap is unfair.
Okay, the aspect,
he's inconsistent.
He is definitely he is inconsistent. Yep, he definitely is. But he does perform well enough for this team last year, and that the reason why they're 6-5 is not his fault. The defense was garbage the first month of the season. You know, he was the one who put up all those points in Kansas City, and they couldn't stop Kansas City despite having the lead late. I mean, we could parse this thing out completely.
Okay.
But,
Man, it feels like you're giving him, and this is typical of quarterbacks, feels like you're, I don't know if you're trying to, like, balance it out here.
What?
But if you're saying that he gets, if you're saying, sorry, I got somebody actually calling me on my house phone right now, so sorry about the beeps there.
That's Stephen A.
I seriously doubt it. If you're saying that somebody gets that he's getting too much blame, I feel like you're giving him too much credit. Like, I think they play around Baker Mayfield more than anything. I think that running game and that defense, when it is playing, is protecting Baker Mayfield. Does he have some ability? Yeah. Does he have flashes? Yeah. But I haven't seen somebody who has been the franchise savior that a number one overall pick.
He beat the crap out of the Steelers last year, Michael, in a playoff game. When was the last time the Browns could say something like that? He went ahead in Cincinnati.
If relative to the history, recent history of Browns quarterbacks,
yes,
or playoff futility, sure, definitely give him a cookie or a pumpkin pie if you prefer. But the Steelers at that point were, like, completely falling apart, and Ben Roethlisberger had one of the sloppiest, most prolific stat lines in NFL history. You know what I mean? The Steelers threw that game away early. But, yeah, sure, he gets credit for that. I'm not saying he's not a above-average starting quarterback or the potential to be that.
Right.
But I don't think that – I'm going back to the premise, which I'm rejecting. I don't think the criticism that he's gotten has been unfair. Have there been some circumstances around him that have made his life more difficult? Sure. But therein lies the difference between great quarterbacks and okay quarterbacks, as you know, is the ones that, for the most part, can overcome some of those issues, whereas Baker strikes me as a guy that needs everything to be perfect around him.
They booed him at home, Michael. They booed him in his home stadium. You know, coming again, just because they struggled to beat the Detroit Lions at home, you know, without a considerable amount of their pieces. That's what I'm saying, is that I don't know another quarterback that does that for a 6-5 team coming off of a playoff season in which also, you know, he's come up with some big wins. That's what I'm saying. Who else is getting?
You think he deserves a little bit of a break, a little bit of benefit of the doubt?
Well, I mean, I guess so. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. That's what I've been saying all year long. And you're saying,
as many commercials as Baker Mayfield is in, I've always just struggled to buy him. But maybe there's another level for him to go to. I think he's okay. Maybe the problem is that he's okay, and that where you're number one overall pick, and in every commercial and you've got all of this different hype and hoopla around you, maybe the expectation, unfairly so, is that he's supposed to be more than what he is. He has been beat up. He is a tough kid. He's playing through it. But what I'm really hearing, though, if I can psychoanalyze you for a second.
Sure.
I'm hearing a guy that just knows what it's like to not have a quarterback, to see somebody that you think is mistreating theirs.
Yes, especially since.
Hey,
man, here's my point. Is like, you know, ride the horse that you're with when the horse that you're with has the ability to win a playoff game for you. Because you might, you know, regret having to go back into the draft to find your guy, and then that guy gets hurt, and then you trade actual draft capital for somebody who would never start for anybody else in the NFL, barring a huge car wreck. And he's an unvaccinated quarterback who then is now useless to you a week after you start him because he's a close contact of a guy who actually has it.
Speak on it.
So that's what I'm saying. Like, that's my current situation as you've led me to. Like, would the Browns prefer that? You know,
right.
And I understand the concept of why would I settle for mediocre play when I can get better? Yeah, you can get better actually in the next 6 weeks with this guy is what I'm saying. The Jets can't. With the guy that
they currently
have.
I feel your pain on that, bro. And I, last time I talked to you, I think I might, if I recall correctly, it's been a couple of weeks, I think I got kind of excited about Mike White.
Yes.
And I was telling you, like, yo, man, this is a first world problem. This ain't a problem. Like, you actually might have they have two quarterbacks.
And the Jets started building him a statue outside of MetLife, but it looks like the Venus de Milo now. They can't complete it with arms and a head. They just stopped. It's over. Mike White's statue is just like half a body. That's basically what it is out there. And that's, again, that's my point. Do you want to go back there? And I understand that might be a false choice for some, but that's the reality once you do go down that road of what the plan B is. And why are you booing the guy when you have no idea what he's actually going through to get out there? That's all I'm saying. And I feel
considerate of you. I got nothing personal against Baker. I hope he works out. Cleveland deserves it. But I do. What I love most about that take is, you know, you got to appreciate what you have.
Yes.
The other half doesn't even have mediocrity.
That is also a sign of our times too, Michael. You know, like, live in the moment. Carpe diem. Appreciate what you have while you have it. I feel like I've pissed you off with choices of asking you questions during this conversation.
No. No, Rich.
Okay.
No, never. Right. Never. It just was just... I'm sorry.
It's
my baggage.
No, it's not your baggage.
It's me. It's not you. It was only just that one.
I didn't know I was triggering. I really had no idea.
Why would you?
I don't know.
And it's my job.
Yes.
It's my job.
No,
if I get punched in the face, accept it and move on, and not run around like a madman.
Michael Smith, everybody.
Well done, Michael.
He did not
leave
the conversation in a timely fashion. Right? He just dropped it. He went out the tunnel and he tried to circle back. That's exactly what just happened. Who's on your show later today, sir? Who do you got? What do you got?
Well, you know what? I'm going to see your J.K. Simmons.
Ah.
And I don't want to say raise you, but match you with Glenn Turman. Speaking of rodeo.
Okay.
One time.
Okay.
Former rodeo performer.
Okay. Very good.
And then our regular visits from Vincent Goodwill and Jason Johnson. So
we're
going to chop it up, talk about a number of things, some of the things we've just covered, with the exception of that hot take about LeBron.
Well, Michael, ask your guest about my theory about how certain competitions in rodeo were created. Is it based on just being bored and drunk back in the range back in the day and just saying, you know, here's this rope, I'm going to throw it around this animal and see what can happen?
Will do. Before I let you go.
Yes, sir.
If I may, are you up against the clock?
Not at all.
Okay, before I let you go, if I may, because you know I have an Ohio State Buckeye. I don't have a dog in this fight.
Mm-hmm.
But I want to be on your side.
Thank you.
But I don't feel good about it. Can you tell me why Michigan is going to knock off Ohio State?
I can't say that with any certainty. There is a roadmap, however, as opposed to previous years. The roadmap is they've got two spectacular pass rushers coming from either end of the line. They also have a spectacular running back in Hassan Haskins, who will make the world of some lucky team that decides to choose him in the first round of next year's draft.
Mm-hmm.
He is that good. And they've got a quarterback who doesn't make mistakes, and they just got to put up, they got to put up sevens instead of threes, and they got to have takeaways instead of, you know, giveaways. And
don't let the ball get thrown over the head like everybody else.
You know what? And honestly, that's about it, you know. And then I'll just say this in terms of the good versus evil here. Aspect of it, and I understand that I'm treading into very, very, very dark waters here with my take here. But do you want Ohio State to go again? Do you really want them going again? Do you really want them going to the Big Ten championship game again? You really want them in the national championship round of four again. I mean, let's get a little variety out there. You know what I mean? Like, let's see what Jim Harbaugh can actually do in all of that. Don't you think that that would be a little bit more interesting? I'm just appealing to your sense of a story, of a storyline. You know, I'm sure you're just as much of a storyline aficionado as I am.
That's what I root for.
Exactly. You root for storylines. You don't think it's a better storyline to see Michigan go and see what happens with Harbaugh than Ohio State again? Like, what do you think?
I don't have the emotional investment in Jim Harbaugh that I did when he was in and leaving San Francisco and first going to Michigan.
Yeah, but either you love him or you hate him. There's no gray area. Really, you're
in
the gray area.
I'm indifferent now. It's been too long and too many disappointing seasons.
That's exactly right, that he hasn't been there. So getting him back there, he makes it more interesting. Jim's more interesting.
No, the best teams make it interesting. I mean, I want to root for Michigan because I just don't want to be on the same side as Michael Holly. And I like you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, quiet as kept. Don't tell
Appreciate
him. I prefer you to Michael.
Thank you.
So I just want to root for Michigan for trolling purposes more than anything. But I believe Ohio State's the better team. And honestly, I just want to see the best teams. Not only that, I don't want to see expansion. Not to get off on a whole other topic, but like this season, I'm kind of like rethinking my whole stance on college football.
Well, this now you've opened a whole can here, and when we are kind of getting close to being up against it.
Sorry.
But no, but the whole idea, again, that you've just mentioned that,
just
like, that Ohio State.
Longer than
that,
it needed to be. I apologize.
That Ohio State, Alabama's dropped below Ohio State in the rankings, and we're arguing about, you know, what's up with that? And Ohio State, you know, Alabama hasn't played a good enough defense over the last 2-3 weeks or whatever, whoever the hell's in charge of that committee said on ESPN last night, and people are arguing about it. It's like, we shouldn't argue about it. Ohio State and Alabama should make it in this championship round, in a round of 8 and a round of 12. Let's get, and I know it takes a little bit of the edge off a game like this weekend, but it still means a ton of stuff. Certainly if it means that you get to stay at home instead of on the road for the first round of the playoffs. Like, put
I'll
a home field advantage on it here.
I'll make it quick. I think, do you want a tournament or do you want a championship?
I want a tournament. That's what I want.
I don't want a tournament. I don't think there are 12 teams that are championship-worthy teams, and if they are, they'll prove it in a regular season.
Let's talk about this next week. How does that sound? All right.
And Thanksgiving, guys.
And you'll know that in advance, so I don't piss you off about bringing it up.
You didn't piss me off. You didn't piss me off.
I want you guys to dig deeper into this situation.
I just want you to know. I just want you to my hand was open. It wasn't closed when I asked that question. Okay,
and
my elbow was
better. And you have my phone number if you want to apologize.
All right, very good. Michael Smith, everybody.
All right,
Michael.
All right, Mike.
Michael. Brother from Another after us on NBC Sports on Peacock at 3 Eastern Time. We'll take a break. Your phone calls, 844-204-RICH, number to dial, and our Gorilla Glue NIL deal. Let's hand that out when we come back.
It's only a kick. A jump. A block. It's only a serve. It's only a tackle. A run. It's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
This is the Rich Eisen Show.
844-204-RICH is the number to dial. So our Gorilla Glue Name, Image, and Likeness Award that we've been giving out every single week, on the Rich Eisen Show since the college football season began, the toughest player on planet Earth. We are focusing on Baylor football. What a season it has been for the Baylor Bears and their head coach, Dave Aranda. And we're focusing on this team that has an opportunity, by the way, to make the Big 12 championship game this week. All they have to do is beat Texas Tech at home, and Oklahoma State is favored to beat the Sooners. If Oklahoma State beats Oklahoma, the Baylor Bears get into the Big 12 championship game. And the player that we're focusing on is in the running back group. His name is Treston Ebner. Now, he's not leading the team in rushing. That's Abram Smith, who has 185 carries for 1,249 yards and 11 touchdowns. He leads the team in all of those categories. But what Tristan Ebner leads the Baylor Bears in is not just longevity. He's a fifth-year senior who goes way back to the tenure of current Carolina head coach Matt Rhule when he was building that program and crushing it. He was one of the kids who helped build this program with Matt Rhule, who then left and Aranda came in. And Tristan Ebner had an opportunity as a fifth-year senior, obviously, and to maybe go somewhere else for his fifth year. He decided to stay. He broke Baylor's program record. He played in his 58th career game. He had the first touchdown of the game, only his second of the season against Kansas State. And it was a big game for Kansas State. It was their last home game. It was Parents Weekend in front of Kurt and Brenda Warner, for crying out loud. He scored that touchdown to start the scoring for Baylor. He had 127 all-purpose yards. And he was the Big 12 Special Teams Player of the Year last year. This is a glue guy. He's a dad. He's got a daughter. And he is one of the leaders on this Baylor Bears team. He has caught our eye all year long, and we decided to give him this award this week. And he's unable to call into the show today, but we do hope to get to meet him. And he's a guy who embodies what this NIL deal is all about, which is leadership, balling out, being a good guy, not just in your locker room, but for your teammates and in the community as well. That's Tristan Ebner of the Baylor Bears. Congratulations to him. He gets the $1,000.
Let's go.
And free product from Gorilla Glue.
Love it.
Which, as you know, from every single player that we've been able to talk to this year, they kind of dig the glue more than the money, which is kind of interesting.
Well, they got broken stuff, right?
Yeah, they got stuff to fix. So this award, we thank again our partners at Gorilla Glue, giving this NIL deal to somebody who doesn't see it coming, doesn't expect it, but gets it because they deserve it. And Gorilla Glue brings you this award. And Gorilla Glue is the makers of high-quality adhesives and tapes, which is why these players are going crazy about getting it. And it's much like the players this award recognizes. Gorilla brings toughness and strength to even the most difficult household projects and repairs. Gorilla Glue for the toughest jobs on planet Earth. We send our best to the Baylor Bears program.
Congrats.
They could get the Big 12 championship game.
That'd be awesome.
We'll be keeping an eye on that on Saturday. I hope I'm not flipping to the game because I'm done watching mine.
Well, you could be done watching yours in a good way.
Thank you.
Hey, Rich, speaking of the Gorilla Glue, you know, they sent us tape.
Yeah.
And so, you know, I've got this art over here. I've used Gorilla tape on all this. This morning, I used regular Scotch tape on one of these. You see what happened? It fell. Right next to Eddie Guerrero, the picture fell. Everything else has Gorilla tape. That's my fault.
Do you need more product?
Well, I'm going to go grab it right now.
Okay.
You know.
Very good. Nice sponsorship opportunity right there. Hour two coming up.